This conference will now be recorded.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, welcome to Sedona Patriot. My name is Matthew Tuccheroni. I am the president of Sedona Stands United. And we have on the show today Daniel McCarthy, going to be running for governor 2022. And is affiliated with the Patriot Party that is going to be birthed out of Arizona. And on the show today, we have Bera V. She is the vice president of Sedona Stands United. I just wanted to give a little bit about Daniel. He ran in a special election to the U.S. Senate to represent Arizona. He lost in the special Republican primary on August 4th, 2020. I think, Bera V, you will definitely have some common things to talk about with Daniel, as you were Kurt's campaign manager here. And we all know what happened to Kurt on August 4th when he lost to Mayor Sandy in Sedona. So what we're doing here, Daniel, is we are SedonaStandsUnited.org. We are affiliated with ArizonaStandsUnited.org, which is our mother organization. And we are pretty much done with a lot of the stuff that's been transpiring in the year 2020. We're done with the masks. We're done with these mandates. We're done with our constitutional rights being violated. And that's what our organizations represent. We are filing charges against the governor, current governor's mandates and state of emergency, which there's no state of emergency as we can see here. So I'm gonna go ahead and turn it over to Bera V, and then we'll get this interview started.
Yeah, thank you for the introduction. Thank you so much for being here, Daniel. I'm so excited to know more about you and what you stand for here as the future governor for the Patriot Party here in Arizona. And I don't want to take any more of your time in terms of hearing me speak. So I just want to get straight to you and just hear about you and what inspired you to run this year and then further join the Patriot Party.
Sure. So I'll start off by telling you guys that in our election in August, we saw some things that just didn't add up. So there was things that we saw in terms of the numbers. About 5 minutes after the election was over, we were told the results. And then every minute that went on, our numbers kept on growing, and we couldn't understand it. And the reason we couldn't understand it is because, like, I can understand missing a couple points in an election, but I'm a CEO by trade. Okay. So my background is I've ran multiple successful businesses in the, you know, I have a real estate organization right now, for example, that this year will probably do $2 billion in real estate sales. I have so many different organizations I've been a part of. And I say that to you guys because I can miss a little bit. Like I know how to miss a couple points. Right. But I don't know how to miss by way of like 30 points. Right. Mm. So we were seeing on our end a certain analytics that just weren't adding up. So, for example, like our Google searches at the end of the campaign in comparison to Martha, and our signs just in how many volunteers we had a bigger infrastructure than Trump victory had. We had an infrastructure that was unbelievable. We had a ground game that was just thousands and thousands of volunteers. And so we knew that something wasn't right, because the traditional metrics is that we would use in order to say, okay, this is where we should be, showed us being a lot higher than where we ended up. So come in August, we started to say, well, this isn't, like I said, this isn't making sense. So I don't, for me to lose, like, you have to understand, I don't want to be in politics. So I could care less to have a title or a position. So for me, it's not like I did this because I wanted to be in office. It was a matter of Martha McSally was controlled opposition. She was a McCain plant. She was put there purposely to lose. She was there to turn our state blue. So I had to do this as a last resort. Mm. Well, I didn't realize what kind of rabbit hole we were getting into here, right? I mean, I didn't realize that, you know, there's a lot of history now here, but the long and short of it is that we started reaching out to, my team started reaching out to Dr. Shiva in Massachusetts, and we started to notice that he started to fight this from a different angle. Mm-hmm. And we said, well, what we're going to do is what we know how to do. I don't want to fight the election fraud, because frankly, we know that in November, Trump's going to have to deal with that. And we knew that in addition to that, it was way bigger than what we could handle on a national. I mean, people couldn't comprehend that their vote isn't real, right? We didn't want to fight that fight in August. So what we did was what we knew what we had to do is, I said, look, we have to start a political party, because the Republican Party folks, I've been a Republican since I've been 18 years old, since you can register to vote. Okay. The Republican Party is systemically corrupt, meaning from the top to the bottom, everywhere. They have operatives everywhere. They have paid opposition. They have the movie script played out from beginning to the end. And if you don't fit into that movie script, you will be isolated out and you will be made into a radical. So there's a lot to go over here. But what I'll tell you is that we were going to start a political party before I decided to get into the race. That was actually more important to me than anything else, because our founders laid out a very beautiful blueprint for us. Before a revolution started here in America, our founders did every legal option available before anything happened. A lot of people don't understand that, you know, these guys were very intelligent men and they took the time and they laid out a political and a legal case. It took 10 years to build up to the point to where the public said, okay, enough's enough. We're not going to live like this anymore. So, you know, a political party is an option that we have to pursue because it's a legal option that's available that we haven't pursued yet. And I was quite amazed at how quickly we started the idea of the Patriot Party. They just took off. I mean, like, I think like 10 states now have replicated our efforts. And that's wonderful, because that's what we need. It needs to be a state by state party, not a national party. Should we have no national tie-in, no national bylaws? It should be Arizona ran. So yeah, I could talk all day on this, and I could bore you guys. So I won't do that. Tell me what direction you want me to go in, and I can take you there.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you went through an election, and then at the same time you were like, there's something off about this election. And the same thing happened here in Sedona with the mayor. There was just like something off, and we couldn't really figure it out, but we didn't go down the rabbit hole to figure out what was going on. And of course, you know, the Trump administration would bring all this to the surface later in the year. What are you wanting to change? Like, what is your platform, and what is it that you ran for?
So initially, when I decided to jump into the Senate race, I felt like it was a 2-year term in comparison to the normal 6-year term, right? So it was just to fill the vacancy that John McCain left behind. Right. And I've been watching John McCain and his group of cronies run this state forever. Okay. So I've been here for 17 years watching politics, and I've been watching what they were doing. So I said to myself, you know, from just a principal standpoint, no one was going to stop Martha McSally from losing another election. Everyone was afraid to do it because Mitch McConnell had basically said to everybody, no one run against her. I mean, so there was just this complete like blackout on that race. So I started off as a donor looking for someone to run that race. So I started reaching out to people saying, hey, I'll help you. I'll donate my time, talent, and treasure to get you elected to run against Martha, because she's just a terrible candidate. And she's not a Republican. I mean, she's a socialist. I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, she literally is a socialist. But I said, what started to happen was, is people started to say, you're so passionate about it, why don't you do it? And then that word started to spread. And next thing you know, Martha McSally and Doug Ducey, this was back in August of 2019, they started promoting the idea of red flag laws. So I said, wow. I mean, if Republicans in Arizona are going to pass red flag laws, that to me was like the biggest writing on the wall that you could possibly have. Okay. I mean, I escaped New York to come to Arizona for gun rights. Okay.
If they're doing it. What's a red flag law?
Sure. So for anybody listening to this, a red flag law is one of the most dangerous laws. They've been passed in over 17 states now, where basically if, you know how people are calling because you're not wearing a mask? Okay. Imagine having an atmosphere where people could call and say, oh, I think Daniel may be unstable. And then the police with no warrant can come in your home and confiscate all your firearms. And by the way, in New Jersey, to give you an example where they passed these red flag laws, there's been over 500 people that have lost their firearms to these red flag laws. And it's just happening because the media is not covering it, obviously. So when Doug Ducey and Martha started talking about how Arizona should pass these red flag laws, by the way, the governor said that he wanted a red flag law on his desk that session in 2019. So I said, okay, I said to my family, I said, look, it's not about an election. This really is about creating a movement of people that understand how bad it's gotten. I use the Senate race as kind of a cover or an umbrella to just say, we need to create an activist movement of constitutional conservatives that are going to say no more. So of course I wanted to win. Of course I wanted to serve. That's the goal, right? But ultimately speaking, what we were able to do in my campaign is I went to every board of supervisors. I went to every city council. We went to the state legislator. We put so much political pressure on them to not pass these red flag laws that not only did it not happen in Arizona, there was so many people that lost credibility that could never get elected again in Arizona in some of our red districts because we exposed them as being for these red flag laws. So, you know, I'm really just an activist. I mean, that's really at the heart of who I am. I like to get things done politically so conservatives have someone on their side that can actually win. You know, we haven't had many of those, unfortunately.
Wow, Daniel, thank you so much for sharing that. I want to kind of, one, I'm from Syracuse, and my grandfather, we used to have a camp in Teresa on Red Lake, north of Watertown. So I'm very familiar with upstate New York. I miss the old upstate New York. I miss what it used to stand for, not what it currently stands for, obviously. It's really sad to see that our home state, especially, it's so beautiful up there in the Tug Hill Plateau region and all that. It's just really sad to see our state being destroyed by some crony in Albany. It really is. So I wanted to say, you know, I'm with you. As a New Yorker, I came to Arizona for a better life. You know, New York State has just gone downhill. I'm great. I'm glad that you're an activist because that's what we are. This is what our organization stands for. And what we did this past weekend, I think afterwards I'm going to send you, we just uploaded a YouTube video on a current situation here in Sedona where the police department overexercised their authority with us as protesters, peaceful protesters at Natural Grocers, to the point where he tried to take me down by my neck and throw me to the ground, and it was over a mask issue. And we went in there. I mean, when you see the video, you can see that we are good conservatives who want this Patriot Party in place because everything that we were stating about our Constitution, about God, about liberty, about freedom, we were all stating this in these videos. There was no reason for that cop to treat us the way he did with about 15 of us. And so I'm so glad that we have someone like you who's willing to run for governor, who knows about peaceful activism and civil protest, because that's what we were. But you know, I made the front page paper today in Sedona. Man, or what did it say, Barry? Here it is, right here. You know,
man arrested on masks, something. I don't know.
Yeah, man arrested for trespassing over mask issue. So we do have a whole network now being built here. There was a lot of behind the scenes stuff that was going on while I was in jail for the 15 hours that I was in there. But I think the judge, the police department split. You know, my friend Wayne works for the police department, and I'm gonna have to edit that out. But anyways, my friend works for the police department, and he, you know, it's divided. It's very divided. But the way this other officer treated me, you know, Daniel, when I send you this video afterwards, I'll send it to Tanya afterwards, but really watch it. It's getting some pretty big views, actually. I mean, we only have 54 subscribers right now, but there's over 84 views right now. And my attorney in Florida got wind of it. She's been working on it. The judge released me on ROR, and we have a case now. We have a pretrial here. I think Arizona Stands United is going to get involved, and this is it. This is a movement. It's being birthed. And I did reference the Patriots are here. Like, I referenced that in the video. I'm like, the Patriots are here. Like, we're done. We've had enough. It's over with. And that's why that incident had to happen the way it did. And I'm glad it did. Unfortunately, you know, I ended up going to jail, but it shows you just how serious and scary this situation that we are in America right now. And it's, I'm blessed to be sitting in front of you right now, Daniel. Really, thank you. Thank you.
Well, we had a similar incident down here in Phoenix where we had the House chambers. We went in to sit in the House chambers because this was last week. So, okay, Rudy Giuliani came to town, did the public hearing. I was invited to go to the public hearing. So I was sitting in the public hearing, listening to this dog and pony show, right? And all of a sudden at the end of the dog and pony show, I said, okay, state legislators, what are you going to do about it? Because a lot of people don't know, and look, it's hard, right? It's very complicated minutiae when it comes to our government. A lot of people don't understand how procedures work. But when you vote for the president, you don't actually vote for the president. You vote for a slate of electors, right? And by the way, that's not even your job as a citizen. It's the state legislative body's job to decide who the president is. So by them not doing that, what they're basically doing is saying, okay, we're going to let the governor do what he's going to do. We're going to let the citizens do what they're going to do. But they still ultimately retain that obligation and responsibility as state legislators. So anyways, I'm telling you all this because, and when Rudy left town, we were cheated again as citizens, because what should have happened is there should have been a special session, and the Republicans and Democrats should have been debating inside of those Senate chambers and those House chambers in Arizona Capitol. And there should have been a vigorous debate of whether or not those electors should have went for Donald Trump or for Joe Biden. That is what should have happened. And then from there, what would have happened is that the majority would have voted inside those chambers, and we would have had a slate of electors that all of us could have lived with. But rather than doing that, we were cheated again on our vote, where the state legislators didn't do their job, right? And they tried to pass this resolution, and they're saying that this resolution this resolution means nothing, okay? This resolution has no teeth at all. So my point is that it's systemic corruption. So when you're saying these things about, like, when I love when people say this about the Patriot Party, because you get it. The reality of it is that the Republican Party's gone. I mean, it is the same as the Democrat Party. They work together. Trust me when I tell you, Kelly Ward has had meetings, I assure you, with the same people that Kyrsten Sinema is having meetings with. Okay. And these people are working together in tangent. Okay. So, I'm sorry that you went through that, because we had an incident like that here. We did a sit-in in the House building, and we had two people that were arrested here. One of which, by the way, was literally a lady that's probably in her 50s. You know what I mean? She literally was sitting down. They just manhandled this poor woman. I'm helping her from that perspective. I hooked her up with a good attorney that we have, and it's a nightmare.
Why was she arrested?
She was arrested because when they ran their exercise, they started to push everybody out. And when they ran that exercise, she was like the last one there, and they just grabbed her and they just arrested her, where everybody else was. There was like 50 of us sitting in the House building, and all of us were pushed out. But this lady just happened to be the unfortunate last one. They arrested her. Another guy, by the way, they arrested him after he left. They pulled him over afterwards. They clearly targeted this guy. So, yeah, we have a bad culture, right? Because this is why police forces, frankly, should be under constitutional sheriffs and not under cities. So constitutionally speaking, it's kind of a bad idea when you have these tyrant mayors like Kate Gallego out of Phoenix, right? She's a card-carrying communist. She's not a Democrat. She's a communist. And she has a police force, the Phoenix Police Department, at her disposal. That's not a good idea. So, I'm sorry to hear that you went through that. And I know it's happening. It's happening a lot. Unfortunately, it's a common occurrence right now.
I mean, it is. It's our constitution is just being violated left and right. And it's like, the thing is, you give them the facts and then they come after you even more. They want to come after you even more when you give them the facts. That's what happened to me. He said disorderly conduct. And all I said to him was like, sir, do you know, officer, that, you know, doctors are getting paid $30,000+ to label deaths as COVID-19? And do you not see that? And then she goes, that's it, disorderly conduct. I'm arresting you for disorderly conduct after I stated the facts. And I'm just like, you know, and we were so peaceful. We were talking about God in there when we were in there. We had doctors in there, lawyers, like they all walked in there. We've had enough, you know, and it blows my mind. And I'm so glad to see the Patriots rising up, because our forefathers wrote this constitution to save us from times like this. And now it's like, I'm so glad, if you want to look at it in a positive way, this whole situation this year really has educated me on my country finally. I finally understand what our country stands for now, because we're going through this and we're getting a crash course in common and constitutional law right now. And yes. I'm thankful for that. So God, I am thankful for that. I am thankful for the fact that this happened so I can learn what our country really stands for. And it's beautiful. Once I learned what this country really stood for, and by studying this constitution now, I'm proud to be an American, and it's been taken away. And the Communism Party it's here. It's already here. They've infiltrated us years ago.
Yes.
So
yeah, this has been going on for a long time. This is not going to be easy to eradicate. I mean, I tell people this, it's a surgery, and that's part of the reason why I never wanted to get into politics, because, you know, I've been watching this since I was a young man. My mother ran for office when I was very young. She ran for office when I was 8 years old in Watertown, okay, where you and I, you know that. My mom was the first woman councilwoman in the town I grew up in Watertown.
Wow.
And when, yeah.
I went to school in Albany, so I know all these towns.
Okay, so you're familiar too. Okay.
Yeah.
It was a blessing and a curse, because as my mother was becoming as she was waking up to what the real dangers were of big government and communism and those type of things, I was an 8-year-old kid, right? And I was living through that process. And, you know, I did everything I could to stay away from politics other than just being a good donor. I donated a lot of money to good candidates. I donated $25,000 to Trump in 2016. I never donated to the bad guys. I tried to work against the bad guys like the McCains and the Flakes and all these people. But I finally got to the point where I was like, man, I just can't do this anymore. Like I've tried everything but getting in like this. And now you guys are stuck with me, because the thing is, we can't let our country slip away. We don't realize what we actually have. It's the most beautiful foundation of a country that you could ever imagine. And when people actually learn what it is that we have, they're willing to do whatever it takes to keep it, because frankly, it's our obligation to. A lot of people don't understand it. As an American citizen, the world relies on us to maintain this level of freedom that we have. They need us to have this level of freedom so they have a chance. So we're in a dogfight. I mean, and we're right in the middle of it. It's going to take some time, and we got to be patient and resilient. Situations like you described, Matthew, where you had an incident like that with the police. We've got to see those things all the way through. We got to hold these people accountable. We got to get these bad apples out of there, and we've got to make examples of people that are willing to trample on our rights.
What are you hoping to restore?
You know, the culture of America, has changed so much from, you know, when I was that 8-year-old kid until now. And I'm a young guy. So, I mean, you go back even further and you just see the rapid change in the decay of our culture. You know, our founders were very smart to tell us that things that we should be watching out for. And when your republic becomes corrupt, the way our government has become corrupt, we have to eradicate the corruption completely. We have to get rid of the entire corruption. If you don't, then as Thomas Jefferson said, it's useless, or you're just replacing it with another type of evil. So what I want to restore is the culture of our society where, you know, you have a mom and a dad that, you know, are comfortable having their children play in the streets, and they're comfortable with making a good living and you know, owning property and being entrepreneurs or failing or whatever the case may be. So people maintain a culture where politics is not the center of attention, but it's actually out of the way. Politics is gone. Just chipping away at the government everywhere you can. I mean, getting rid of it anywhere you possibly can. And restoring that culture where people take ownership back of their country again, where they don't rely on someone to take care of it for them. Instead, they say, no, we've got it here at the local level. We can control that. Rather than saying, we need someone to take care of that. How many times have you heard that as you think back in your mind now? Is how many times have you heard from someone say, oh man, they have to take care of that? Well, who's they? I mean, who do you want to take care of it? No, we don't want anyone taking care of anything. We want the government not to take care of nothing. Okay. So it's restoring that culture of the government's the bad guy. I mean, they're not good. And
what do you say to those who really don't see this point of view? Like I have conversations with so many people, and they really don't think that anything's wrong with our government right now. And I'm just like, how do you have this viewpoint? How are you not like personally affected by everything that's happening right now? So what do you say to those people?
It's a real challenge. You have half of our society now that's convinced that socialism is not only the way it is, it's really, we're already socialist as a country. I mean, frankly, we are way over the benchmarks that would indicate we're a socialist nation. So you have now individuals that rely on the government in so many different ways that again, to eradicate that, it's just going to take so much time. And unfortunately, this is what scares me is that, like in most cases, it's going to take something catastrophic. It's going to take something colossal before people realize, oh my God, we're in trouble. And think about this, the masks haven't done it. I mean, 90% of people are complying and just walking around with this, the government on their face, you know, shutting down people's businesses hasn't done it. So it is quite frightening to me that, like you said, it seems like people are still just so out of touch with what reality really is. It's going to be a long battle. I mean, I wish I had a simpler answer for you other than I think it's going to take what's happening right now with President Trump. I think President Trump is in a very unique position to do some remarkable things. And I'm encouraging the Trump administration to do those things behind the scenes big time.
Yeah, there's some, you know, some of us have some intel as we like pay for subscriptions for some pretty high up people in the chain of command. And so there's some big things about to roll out. And I don't know if the general population is actually ready for what's happening, but the reality is that God is in control, and anything that does roll out, the population is ready for. So how is the Patriot Party different than the Republican Party or the Democratic Party?
So in my observation of the Republican Party, it's the most bureaucratic system there is. So for instance, I mean, if you just look inside the infrastructure of the Republican Party, you have a completely bureaucratic way of making decisions. And then guess what? The chairperson gets to ultimately hold all the control. It's basically a mirror image of our government at this point. The Republican Party is, it's designed in such a way that it's tied into national bylaws. So for instance, if you think you're going to make change here in Arizona, the majority, 95% of their money comes from national money. It comes from Washington, D.C. So the biggest part of where I think the Patriot Party has an advantage is that there is no national tie-ins. It's actually outlawed inside the bylaws, inside the party platform. So you're never going to have the party bylaws. So you're never going to have a situation where all of a sudden Arizona Patriot Party is susceptible to be corrupted by a national entity. On top of that, you have a very simple strategy with the Patriot Party. It is designed to cultivate activism. It's not designed to stifle conservatives. So if you think about the Republican Party, it's really designed in a way where people, I don't know, are you guys PCs currently with the Republican Party? Have you ever been a PC with the Republican Party? So
what does that mean? What is PC?
So a PC is a precinct committee member, okay? And inside the Republican Party, what they do is they only allow certain types of PCs in. So, you know, so frankly, what happens is if the conservatives get too much control of the PC ranks, the McCain spent like $500,000 one year just to fix the PC ranks inside the Republican Party. So we've set it up in such a way where you can't buy the party. It's impossible. So we just basically fixed all the things that we believe corrupted the Republican Party over the years. And we tried to make it to where it's kind of like a Tesla, you know, of parties. It's state of the art. It's the newest type of thinking to ensure that it stays self-contained. I personally am not going to take a position with the Patriot Party. I'm just a big donor for the party. So I write checks to them so the people that are there can keep on doing what I hope they can do. And I would encourage all of you guys, like I said, as far as being part of the Patriot Party, we need leaders all across the state. I mean, we need leaders to step up and say, look, no more. We're done with the uniparty system. And it's time. You know, many JFK Democrats come to me and say they're so thankful for they're a part of what we're doing. There's a lot of Democrats there that aren't happy about being communist. Okay. They were JFK blue dog Democrats. I think the market is ripe for what we're doing.
When you say activism, like, you know, most people, when they think activism, they hear like Antifa, they hear protesting, they hear, you know, like vigilantes, like there's all kinds of negative connotations that come from being an activist. So what does it mean for you in terms of like being part of the Patriot Party, calling in these activists, and what does it mean for us as civilians to be an activist? Do you think?
Sure, it's a great question. So activism is the core of Americans. I mean, it's the core of who we are. The First Amendment was built so we could always speak out and stop this madness from happening. And the idea from our founders was is winning hearts and minds, right? The goal is just to win as many hearts and minds as possible to what's wrong. And so activism is any form of a public display that continues to grow our movement, right? So whatever your movement is, to your point, it can be a bad movement. We don't have that on the right. We don't have anybody on the right that goes, okay, if a business is going to be closed down, 50 of us are going to show up at that business and tell the police to get the hell out of there, right? We don't have that type of legitimate arm of the conservative movement that's willing to actually go to where they need to go to and hold up signs and say no more. The reason people don't understand how important that is because, okay, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Okay, that's just the way it works in this world. And if you want change, your physical presence showing up somewhere, it actually causes change to take place because you're physically, you're bringing your energy, you're bringing who you are to that place, your physical presence, and you're saying, okay, it's time to make change here. And the ripple effect of that can be so big that most people can't even fathom it because you're stuck behind your TV all day or your phone, right? So again, that's why I'm insistent upon the idea that don't just stand there and do nothing about it. Like when you hear what Matthew is going through, you know, what I would do is if I were in your guys' shoes is like, okay, you know, you got to keep on doing this. You got to keep on pressing that envelope and saying, okay, you know, when's this going to break? When are people going to realize that the police are completely out of line here? When are people going to realize that the mayor is completely out of line? It's going to happen when unfortunately people are handcuffed for no reason, or over the summer when moms were kicked out of parks because they wanted to have their kids play, but they couldn't because the parks were shut down because of coronavirus, of a scamdemic. I mean, an outdoor park, really? I mean, this is where we are. So activism is now, it's not an importance, it's necessary. Everyone has to get active. Everyone has to be willing to stand up and get physically there, show up. If it's at the Capitol, if it's downtown Sedona, wherever you guys are, it is critical.
I agree. It's more critical than ever. Just seeing what took place on Sunday, now that I'm watching the videos and everything, now this is the controlled opposition's attack on us. They put out a story on me today, front page, right? Yep. Now our local coffee shop that we've defended and that we've supported, they actually, I believe, closed down their business today to talk about this mask mandate. Because somebody had called the cops on them yesterday, not on a customer, but a tourist, called the cops on our local coffee shop for the employees not wearing their masks properly. So now they closed their coffee shop early today to figure out what's been going on. That's what I'm assuming. Don't quote me on that. But someone said that they were shut today, that they were closed for an hour for a meeting. And because now Whole Foods is now having somebody stand at the door saying to you, we have three options. You either can wear a face mask or a shield, or you can answer three of our questions that pertain to the reasonings why. So they and you have to let us take your temperature. So now they're giving medical advice and they're not medical professionals. They're asking medical questions. Like, are these companies that dense? Like, do they not understand like what violations they are doing right? Like, it's beyond, I can't even comprehend that we have allowed this to happen. Like,
I know.
America and the world is crying for us. They're depending on us right now. And we look like a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Yeah, it's bad. The scenario you're describing, by the way, is happening all across the state. I mean, literally, we have restaurants that are trying to stand up, right? And they're fighting it. And then they get the liquor board coming in every other day harassing them. Right. I got to the point to where I stopped showcasing restaurants because I used to go around and I would do a live video with gyms or restaurants or those type of things. But then I started to feel bad because every time I went, what would happen is the Gustavo would come in behind me and they would start to harass those businesses. So it's really surprising. It's unfortunate too. I mean, I think it's time, like I said, for a little bit of an open conversation with our police community to say, why are you guys enforcing they should not be enforcing unconstitutional mandates or anything of that nature. And I'm hoping that at some point we can start having those conversations together as a society and saying, hey, we can't put think about our poor police. You think our police want to be doing that kind of stuff? I can guarantee you it's a very small percentage of them that are authoritarian little communists like that, like this, you know, like some of these people that you're running into, right? Most of them are probably very good conservative people and they don't want anything to do with this mess. So it's just unfortunate. Like I said, the whole thing is like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. And like you said, just keep standing up for this cause. Like, if anything, this empowered us. After I was released on Monday, my organization, we're united now. And that's what we've been trying to do. And it took this moment to unite all of us. Like, we're so united now. And we're unstoppable at this point. And like, you know, they helped us create this movement. They gave us the spark. So to be honest, we're thanking them, thanking the controlled opposition, because this is, I hate to say it, but I don't say this very lightly because it's the truth. We are at civil war. This is Lincoln's era times. This is 1776 all over again. It's revolutionary. God's in the picture again. Light workers, light warriors, people of spirit who live here in Sedona, patriots. It's happening. The rising up is happening, you know, so.
Well, it is. I tell you, this is my dog is going crazy right here. This is Paul, by the way. This is Paul. Yeah. So I named him Paul because he's actually named after Paul Revere, and he's a Boston Terrier. And I bring that to your attention because at that time, you know, when things were happening, they were taxed. They were becoming so taxed that that was the big thing. And you know, I don't think people realize right now, look around. I mean, as soon as you wake up in the morning and you turn on your lights, you're taxed from that electricity, you're taxed from your cell phone. As soon as you touch it, you're taxed on from the water to brush your teeth. As soon as you take a shower, you're taxed. I mean, we're literally taxed from point A to point B everywhere. We're taxed to the point now to where guys like me, for example, I mean, I've been this country's been fantastic to me, but my God, I mean, the amount of money that I've paid in taxes over the years and the amount of just the pure amount of madness. I mean, think about that first. The reason I bring this up, though, is think about that. It was mainly because they were confiscating their wealth that the founders started to have. I mean, they've already confiscated our wealth. We're $28 trillion in debt. And a lot of that's owed to China. A lot of that's owed to our Social Security. You know, the largest debt holder are seniors, individuals that are expecting our Social Security. We borrow against our Social Security. So, I mean, the Ponzi scheme and the house of cards that our federal government has created is so bad that, of course, people are feeling like there's no way to fix it. I think there is. I do. I have hope that I think if people – if you remember when Trump won in that first 6 months, how fast our economy changed and you saw how quickly
we came out of the darkness through the Obama administration, you know, it was beautiful. I was starting to, I used to be one of those people, those expats. I traveled all over the world and I was living in Tunisia during Obama's administration for 8 months and North Africa. And that was during 2015. So, right before, I remember I was over in Tunisia when I watched Trump and make the announcement that he's running. And I think that was in June or July of 2015 when he announced. And I remember it clearly. And I remember how happy a lot of people overseas actually were. I was like, wow, okay. You know, so I kept following him. And I remember the darkness of that, of the Obama administration. I used to live in DC and I actually was invited to the White House as someone's date for a Pride reception that Obama was doing. And I remember I saw him very up close. I was in the gold room and I looked at him and Biden while they were speaking. And I just saw the fakeness, the fakeness coming from them. They were not sincere. It was so staged and so it just looked such a production. I want someone who can just come on here like this and speak without words in front of them and just talk and have normal conversations that flow. I mean, it just looked like a huge production. So I remember the minute when he won. I was actually, when he won in 2016, I would work for United Airlines. I was a flight attendant.
Okay.
And I was in Guam. I had a Guam layover and I watched the election from Guam. It was the worst flight home because I, coming from United and dealing with those liberals and all that, and especially the gay guys there that did not like me for my beliefs, it was the worst flight home. No one, I mean, they were so upset, so angry. I couldn't talk. I could not speak. And that's how it was. And when I got home, the nasty comments on my Facebook page, people at work treating me differently, people at work coming after me, like making up stories about me to get me fired. I mean, it was, I've been going through this since 2016. It's been an awful 4 years, but it's been a great 4 years until this happened this year, you know?
Well, and I think that to your point though, about the, like, that's what an activist does, right? So the left, it's their religions. What a lot of people don't understand is that to the left, communism and big government, like that's their religion. So to them, when someone like you speaks out against it, you're speaking out against basically their faith. So they fight tooth and nail. I mean, so they'll go after you. They don't have the moral aptitude to say, no, what's right or wrong. They don't care what's right or wrong. They want to defend their beliefs and defend this. That's why people say liberalism is a mental disorder. In some senses, it really kind of is, because, I mean, who thinks like that? Like, who would say, I'm going to ruin this guy's reputation because he disagrees with me? We would never say that. I would just say, okay, screw you. We don't get along. But I mean, this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people that will attack you and ruin your life. I've seen it firsthand, by the way. I mean, you should see the attack pieces. I mean, they try to paint me out as some, you should see the things they say about me. I mean, they pay agitators to come down to where I am. Yesterday, I had an agitator follow me around that was literally yelling at me at every moment, telling me that I'm a neo-Nazi. I mean, and by the way, these are the people that are trying to put the Star of David on your face so you can't shop without it. But I'm a neo-Nazi. It's like, you can't make sense with these people.
I did see some articles about you and I laughed a little bit because they were funny.
Yeah, Barbie, you want to ask him some more questions about that? I know you wanted to ask him a few more questions about certain things. So, you know,
I think what's amazing is that you're sharing hope, and you're sharing that there is hope for a future that's positive. And I know a lot of people are at home and people are watching and people are seeking answers for their questions. And most of the questions are like, what can I do? And what can I get a part of? And how can I contribute to something that's actually going to support change in my community? And so if you were talking to those people right now, what is something that you would say to them to inspire them to make choices that really follow their heart versus the fear that's being projected upon us through the government system?
Well, the first thing is that this country has faced insurmountable challenges and we've defeated them every time. I would never bet against America. God has showed the world what he's willing to let us do to defend ourselves. And I look at America and I realize that we haven't even come close to reaching the potential that we have as a country. And I have four children. You know, my oldest is almost 17. My youngest is 11. So I look at these kids and I say to myself, you know, I have an obligation now. So I'm in a position personally where, I mean, obviously, like I said, I acquired wealth at a young age. I've been very fortunate. I've been very blessed. And I will do whatever it takes. I mean, there is nothing that I'm concentrating on now other than this. I mean, this fight is our generation's war. We're in a war, to your point. We are actually right now in a war. Mm-hmm. So most Americans don't realize, too, that this war that we're in is It's a multi-front war. It's the most complicated war that we've ever been in, but there's a lot of great people, a lot of very smart people, much smarter than me, that are working on fixing this war, and we're going to. So I'm not, it's not about, let me just make sure that we're on the same page there for anybody that hears this, that I don't have hope that we're going to get through this. I know we're going to get through this. It's not a matter of, it's just a matter of when. I mean, we're going to finish the job here. I mean, the thing that people don't realize about America too is that when you awaken that contingent of people that like to just not be bothered and don't want to be in the spotlight or don't care, when you awaken that type of person, that's a really hard people to deal with, because we will literally do very complicated and sophisticated things back to those countries that are trying to attack us with communism. And again, here's the beauty. So I'll summarize this very quickly with this, okay? America has the secret sauce. It's called freedom, okay? And every country wants it. Every person wants it in the world. So all we have to do at a moment like that is you have a leader at some point that's going to stand up and say to the world that, no, America is done and we are eradicating communism. Oh, and by the way, we're going on offense. The rest of the world should simultaneously stand up against their repressive and oppressive governments. The rest of the world should stand up and say, no, you know what? We want to follow. We want to be like Americans. And see, that's the type of confidence. When our leadership starts to promote that and we have that, it's only a matter of time before we win. So I'm not really all that worried about it. I think the next couple of months are going to get a little hairy. I'm not excited about some of the things I'm seeing, but I would say to everybody, just dedicate a certain amount of time every day. Like, take a little bit of time every day. I mean, if it's just create a new habit. A habit typically takes about 70 days. So if you think about it, like from a business standpoint, what we would do is when we try to onboard someone into a company, we would try to instill habits in them in the first 90 days of them being there, right? Because we knew if that person adopted these habits over the first 90 days, that they would carry through for the remaining their tenure with the companies. So the idea is that what I try to tell people is, look, take 90 days, create a new habit, do it every single day, whether it's making phone calls or whether it's finding money for good candidates or finding money for the Patriot Party or whatever the case may be. Just spend time every day chipping away. And if we all do that together, it's going to be a very short time before this problem's fixed.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I want to make sure people know how to get a hold of you if they have any questions for you. Do you have a website that you can share?
Yes, Demand Daniel is in the process of being updated to the new run. I don't think I have a choice but to run for governor. I will tell you that I think we need a one day, one vote election bill. We have to have that bill passed. So right now what I'm focusing on is getting a one day, one vote on paper bill drafted. I'm actually personally drafting it with our attorneys, and we will be giving it to a couple of our bill champions in the state legislative body. And we're going to be pushing to try to get that bill passed, because frankly, I don't think it's a good idea for anybody to run for anything if we don't have real elections, right? So my main drive is going to be creating public pressure to get a one day, one vote bill passed by Arizona. If you go to demanddaniel.com, you can reach out to us and just note to yourself that I never conceded my Senate race, technically speaking. And the reason why is because I'm very confident that they ran an exercise on us prior to running it over the president in November. I'm saying that to you because I believe Marxist Kelly, our current sitting senator, is there invalidly. I do not think he actually legally should be there. That's a story for another day. But ultimately speaking, if you go to Demand Daniel, I'm in the process. That website will be changed from the current senatorial race to the next venture for us. But demanddaniel.com. And then, of course, if you go to arizonanewparty.com, and if you fill out information at arizonanewparty.com, that goes to the folks that are working with the Patriot Party. And I strongly advise everyone to get involved with the Patriot Party. There's no other option. I mean, I don't know. It's as easy as that.
Yeah, what I'm hearing is that the Patriot Party is a group of people, not a group of politicians. And so it's a group of people who actually have their heart in the right place and who want to make great change for this country, working collaboratively with one another, creating community, creating sustainability, creating regenerative solutions that support the thriving of a city versus an authoritarian or some kind of like system that controls in some way. And so I am just so grateful that we had this conversation today. I learned so much from you, and I will definitely check out your website. I don't know if Matthew has anything else to ask.
Well, yeah, Daniel, what can we do to support you? And we are, you know, like you said, we are an organization full of people ready to lead, and we are ready to jump into, I'm not going to call it politics anymore, statesmanship and stateswomenship. That's like what we want to jump into.
Yeah.
So what can we do for you, really? What can we do to help? You know, we collaborate a lot with different people. We even invite people like you up to Sedona for events and things like that. So what can we do for you, brother?
Yeah, so I'll tell you, when I announced our Senate run last in 2019, we had over 200 requests for us to come to speak around the state. It was unbelievable. I mean, the love and the support that we got was unbelievable. The thing I will say to you and to your people is that loyalty right now is important for us. A lot of people notice, like with our people, they're very loyal to me. They're very loyal to our movement, and they're very loyal to what we're doing. And I stress that to you guys because I get a tremendous amount of let's just say flack. Okay. Mm-hmm. So our people, what I would say is that try not, you know, just take it with a grain of salt. You know, don't, I warn people ahead of time, like we're going to take a lot of flack from people. So be resilient, be patient. Don't, when you get a media hit piece, like you just got there, like, you know, just take it in stride. And know to yourself that, like, what we really need is just people to have our back. You know, when we hear from people and they say, hey, man, we've got your back, that means so much to us because it tells us that, you know, we're doing the right things. So it's just little things like this. I mean, it's little opportunities to speak. I actually have a property in Sedona, so I try to get up to Sedona as much as I possibly can because I absolutely love it. Sedona is one of my home away from home. And I tell you that, we just need the loyalty that we have building. If you could tell people about what we're doing, and just there's so many people that have no clue of what we're doing, how important it is. So if you could just spread the message to people and send them our way. You know, we have, like I said, an infrastructure that's being rolled out. That's, you guys would not be, I believe we have thousands and thousands. It's insane. The amount of people that reach out to us on a daily basis. It's crazy. Just remind people that, look, there are good people fighting on this, and there's a place for you to plug in and join them. Like, join us in this effort. We need people to simultaneously stand. Take those damn masks off, for God's sakes. Like, I can't believe people are still wearing these things, man. It's like, oh,
I know, brother. I know. You know, we had right before Sunday, right before that event or that crap that happened down at Natural Grocers, I was just at a Stop the Steal rally that our lovely lady Ann Kelly here in Sedona, she throws every Sunday for us, and they get great turnouts. But Senator Wendy Rogers ended up, you know, coming over and speaking for a little bit. And I spoke right after her. She wanted to hear what our organization's doing. And it's so good to see, even though we may have different opinions right now, like what our cause is, all of our causes came together on Sunday. What, you know, whether it was me or, you know, Wendy Rogers, everyone has different viewpoints about everybody. What was great was we all agreed on one thing, and we're tired of this agenda together. Like, we're just gone. And so just having her speak, then me speak after her, and then 15 minutes later, I'm in handcuffs. I'm like, that's activism, though. I mean, that's
how, you know, it works. Yeah.
That's how it works. But so, yeah, I would love to connect with you even more. This video, we're going to see how much this other video on YouTube right now is, how many hits this is getting, which it's getting pretty good hits right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to probably upload this tomorrow and upload it to our podcast tomorrow. So we can share that with you. Did you want me to share this with Tanya, or did you want
to? Yeah, please feel free to share with Tanya. And guys, don't stop doing what you're doing. Don't stop, okay? No matter what, just keep going and keep growing. It doesn't matter how, I'm telling you, when we first started the race in the Senate race, I had people tell me, there's no way you'll do this. And it was a matter of probably 6 months before everybody in the state said, this is our guy. I mean, it was very, the avalanche happened. So just keep, please don't stop doing what you're doing. We need people so badly to stand up and fight. So even if it doesn't seem like you're growing at the pace that you want to, or whatever the case may be, just keep on chipping away. You eat an elephant one bite at a time.
Thank you. Yeah, we will definitely take that. And, as soon as the video is uploaded, we will definitely share it with you. And just to reiterate your email and your website, it's danielmccarthy.com.
Oh, demanddaniel.com.
Demanddaniel.com. Awesome. Awesome. I don't have any more questions, but I know I'm going to gather some more later, and I'll probably want to talk to you again.
No problem. Call, reach out anytime, you guys. Seriously, I'd love to help you guys anytime.
Awesome. Oh, thank
you so much, Daniel. You know what? There's no questions left for me either. It's just been a hectic day for both of us and for me and Barrabee. After, would you step outside, Barrabee, to that newspaper? Like, is that how you found out? Or?
Well, so part of my activism is connecting with community members who want to make actual change. So I met with the mayor, I call him Mr. Mayor, who will win in 2022. And I met with him and another person who want to create community gardens here in Sedona so that we can create sustainable food sources because of the corporate food hoarding and not providing a service to its people as a result of us not wearing masks. And, so we're like, we need to override this in some way. And so I connected with him. And then part of my other work is exposing human trafficking and how the government is really intertwined in all of the human trafficking and the multi-billion-dollar industry with all these multi-billion-dollar corporate moguls. And so, yeah, things have just been like, running into my sphere, and I've been slandered by media. There's multiple news sources who have slandered my name as a result of the work that I've done with human trafficking. And I really haven't done that much. I've only done some small things. And so, we're getting the flack that you're getting. People are reaching out to us and saying, look at, this is what I saw about Matthew in the newspaper. Is everything okay? When I went to go pick him up, I was like, dude, we're in. This is it. This is what we came here to do. We came here to go through the process. We came here to be a part of the process, to get in the process, and to speak about the process on the outside of it. And so, these conversations are really helpful in terms of making the general population understand that they too have the power to create change, even though they don't think so. And if they feel like they're being oppressed and they feel like they're having this like emotional connection to what's happening, it means that there's something in them that wants to come out and wants to be a contributor to the change. And so again, these conversations are very important. We're going to just continue taking the flack because we can. And, I look forward to seeing your campaign and collaborating with you in the future for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. You guys are the best. Stay out of jail.
Thank you. We will. We will.
Said, work? And she said, let's do it. And we went to work right away. We held a meeting right afterwards. I'm not letting it stop me. It's actually, any publicity is good publicity in my eyes.
That's right. Let them talk.
We all know what President Trump expresses to us all the time. Any publicity is good publicity. And that's it. So
amazing. Thank you. Bless you. Have a great day. Bye.
Take care, brother.